So our Bible reading is from Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Morning, everybody. Really good to see you. Those words should be written in gold, shouldn't they? Have you ever heard about phylacteries? They're small wooden boxes worn on the foreheads and on the wrist. This was a practice in Jesus' day among some Jewish people, and I believe it's still the case now. They'd wear those small boxes and they'd fill them with scriptures. And it was a very practical reminder of the need to keep the scriptures like on our minds and in our actions. And I think if I was going to have a phylactery, I would put Philippians 2 in mine if I wasn't so concerned about messing up my hair. Now, Paul's inspired purpose in Philippians chapter 2 is to encourage humility so that believers can stand together, shoulder to shoulder, for the gospel. We saw a little bit about this last week, but humility, it doesn't mean thinking less of yourself. It means thinking of yourself less. And it's really, really important. Now, of course, we here are utterly fantastic at humility. Can you imagine what Christ Church would be like if we really nailed it on humility? Our witness, it would be supercharged, because when people walk in through the door, they'd see people who genuinely are selflessly looking out for the interests of others in the family rather than their own interests. And those very same people that walk in through the door, they're probably going to hear more about Jesus, because actually we ourselves would care more about their need of us of a saviour than our need not to be embarrassed about talking about Jesus. Our witness would be supercharged. Our endurance would be superhuman. Why? Because when suffering comes, we would all be on the lookout for each other, trying to build and encourage one another rather than retreating into self-preservation. And just like Paul, our joy would be complete. Humility is really, really important. And apart from the obvious joke that I made already, we do see examples of humility here at Christchurch. But I think we all know that humility is hard. Even if we don't like being the center of attention from others, we certainly like being the center of attention of ourselves, the center of our own attention. Humility is hard. So here in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11, Paul helps us out by giving us a model example of humility. Verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the model of humility. He shows us the path to walk, and he motivates us to walk that path. And we're just going to look at two points as we consider these verses together this morning. God made low and humanity lifted high. Firstly, God made low. Are you the sort of person that tries to put off anything Christmassy until December? If so, you really need to avoid the Waitrose seasonal aisle this week. These verses aren't going to be particularly helpful for you either. Verses 6 to 8 take us inside the mind of Christ. I mean, that's a privilege, isn't it, in and of itself? And what do we find there? not selfish ambition, not vain conceit, but a deliberate commitment to repeatedly choose humility. Here there's a step-by-step descent from the highest of heights down to the depths of disgrace. And it begins in the heights of verse 6. Christ Jesus, before he was ever even given that name, was in very nature God. He's not a slightly lesser version of God. He's not a created being. He is of the very same substance as the Father and the Spirit. There is no one of greater worth, no one of greater value, no one of greater power. But our society is quite suspicious of power. Our newspapers are filled with the very worst examples of powerful people exploiting those beneath them to get what they want. And even closer to home, those of you in work environments, I'm sure you'll be able to point to examples of power grabbers who will do anything to climb the ladder. They prove the saying, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But here is a glorious, wonderful exception to that rule. He did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. Does that mean that he ceased being God? Not at all. Notice that he made himself nothing by addition, not subtraction. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He added humanity to his deity and so became nothing, of no reputation. Now, isn't this just astonishing? And there's so many good things to enjoy and look forward to at Christmas, but surely this is the best. Just to meditate and wonder at this ridiculous miracle that Mary held in her arms the one who held the stars in place. That Mary gave birth to the one who gave her life. That Mary taught the eternal word of God how to speak. Isn't that mind-blowing? And what a human life he chose. If you had the choice to live any life you could, what life would you choose? Personally, I must admit that the life of like a 6'9" basketball icon would be kind of appealing. But what would you choose? Glory, fame, riches? I don't know. But with all the power in the world, Jesus chose the life of a servant. Rather than wrapping a royal robe around his shoulders, he wrapped a servant's towel around his waist to wash his disciples' feet. So we can see this really staggering descent from the heights of being in very nature God, becoming man, becoming a servant. But he didn't stop there. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, the cross. We're very used to this idea. We're used to seeing people wear crosses on necklaces or earrings. But I think we've forgotten how shameful the cross was. There was a well-known politician, a Roman politician at the time called Cicero. And he said that a Roman citizen should never even have to hear the word cross. He said, even if death be threatened, we may die free men. But the mere name of the cross should be far removed, not only from the persons of Roman citizens, but from their thoughts, their eyes, their ears. For not only the actual fact and endurance of all these things, but the bare possibility of being exposed to them is unworthy of a Roman citizen. The cross was so shameful that you'd be shunned in polite society if you even whispered it. And yet Christ Jesus chose it willingly for himself. He went obediently to the cross according to the plan of the Trinity God, the very plan that he was involved in making in the first place, and there he died. From the highest of heights to the depths of disgrace. And I want us to notice one common theme that runs through all of this. You may have noticed it already. This wasn't a humiliation. Humiliation is when someone pushes you down, like a school bully tripping you up on the playground, or someone spreading a rumor to sabotage your reputation. Jesus' descent isn't humiliation, because nobody pushed Christ Jesus down. These verses emphasize that at every step, this was something he did to himself out of voluntary choice. He chose not to use equality with God for his own advantage. He took the very nature of a servant for himself. He chose to obey the plan of the cross. He humbled himself. He made himself nothing. He did this to himself. Why? For us. For you. He died as the servant of Isaiah 53, bruised for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Without Christ Jesus, our life is doomed to a downward descent, to shame, disgrace, and death forever. Sure, we have small victories along the way, and we make steps as human beings, but ultimately and in the end, our trajectory is down. But Jesus came down further so that he could catch us. However far we fall, it is not too far for him. So we all have a choice to make. Will we continue in that doomed free fall through all eternity, or will we throw out our hands and say, Jesus, catch me? It takes a fair amount of humility to admit that we need a savior. It doesn't exactly boost our ego. But does it really take as much humility as that which Jesus has already showed, descending from the highest of heights to the depths of disgrace? And what a model for us to follow once we believe. I have a strange and worrying feeling that us Christians have forever forfeited the right to say a job is beneath us. Christ Jesus has shown us the path we walk is the path of humility. And I think it's right for us to say thank you to those who are demonstrating this Christ-like humility this morning, to say thank you to those who are serving, whether on the desk at the back or with the children and young people around the building here, to say thank you to those who've even set up this communion table, serving humbly, but also to those who are serving in other ways, not kind of structured churchy stuff, but those who come here with an attitude of, I'm looking for someone to encourage this morning. I'm looking for someone that I can serve. I'm coming this morning wanting to speak truth to this particular person. It's a really good thing to be exhibiting that sort of humility as we come to church and as we live every life, everyday life. It's that kind of attitude switch that Paul is encouraging here. A switch from that attitude of what can people do for me to what can I do for people. That's what Christ exhibits here. Such great humility, all for you, God made low. But then in verses 9 to 11, we see humanity lifted high. It's possible to turn the message of the Bible into the gospel of self-esteem. So I keep receiving these targeted ads online for Christian mugs. Clearly, Google thinks I lead an exciting life. They're bright yellow, very happy yellow, and inside there's writing. And so with each sip of coffee you take, you read a new line. I am God's very good idea. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am the apple of God's eye. I have not bought these mugs. They're a fantastic example of using true statements to tell a lie. Because, yes, we are all those things, but we don't need to be reminded of how awesome we are over breakfast. That's not what we need. Tell us about Jesus. Lift him high. That's what we need. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place. Notice that the therefore means that this is a consequence of Jesus' obedient death. So because he humbled himself, God lifted him up. He wasn't left to decay in the grave, but he was raised to live again. So just imagine, in one moment in the darkness of that tomb, his cold, motionless heart miraculously started beating. And his lungs, which had been silent for days, suddenly filled with air. He was raised. And he was lifted higher. After speaking and eating and showing himself to many people, even persuading the skeptics, he was taken up into the heavens and he returned to his Father's side. And there we read how he was given the name above every name. I wonder what that name is. I mean, the next verse says, at the name of Jesus, but that's not the name that he was given. He already had that name. He was given it when he was born. And in any case, that line says, at the name of Jesus, not at the name Jesus. The name he was given is there in verse 11. Lord. Technical language warning. this name Lord is the Greek word kurios. Now, when the Greeks were translating the Old Testament, sometimes they'd come across bits that were really difficult to translate. For example, how are they going to translate the name of God, the personal name of God, Yahweh? I'm sure they would have had long debates, but in the end, they went for this word, kurios, Lord. So do you see what this means? Here, Christ Jesus is given the name of God. The precious name of which God spoke in Isaiah. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another. And he's worshipped as God too. Just a couple of chapters later in Isaiah 45, God says, before me, every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance. And that's exactly what happens with Jesus here. Every knee will bow before him. Every tongue will acknowledge him for who he is. Many of those tongues and knees will belong to people that currently ignore Jesus, belittle him and rubbish him. They will bend grudgingly and trembling in fear. But for all of us who call Jesus Savior and Lord today, we will do so willingly. And it will be so good to finally see Jesus acknowledged and given the honor that he deserves. He descended from the highest of heights to the depths of disgrace. So the Father lifted him to the highest place to receive honor and worship. All to the glory of God the Father. Now, why is this so glorious? Because isn't really this just the story of how someone got their old job back? If he was God the Son in all eternity, as he was, surely he already had the highest place. Surely he already had the name of God. Surely he already deserved the worship of God. there's something else going on here. I really hope that you're still making the most of the outside, still getting out there and braving the elements, the wind, the rain, the mud. It feels good, but it is a relief when you get back home and into the warmth and you can throw off that wet coat and those muddy shoes. When Jesus got back to the warmth of home in heaven, he didn't throw off his coat and he didn't kick off his shoes. After all he'd seen of humanity, we might expect him to be relieved to be able to, oh, finally, I can throw off that all that humanity stuff and just get back to being God. But he didn't. Throughout this passage, the name Christ Jesus is repeated over and over and over again. And there's plenty of ways to talk about our Savior that emphasize his godness, but this name, Christ Jesus, emphasizes his humanity. So here's the glory of all glories. When he was lifted back to the highest place, he remained Christ Jesus. He didn't throw off his humanity. He stayed the God-man. So here is a human being lifted to the highest place. Here is a human being given the name of God. Here is a human being receiving the worship that is due to God. Isn't it incredible that forever God the Son will remain the God-man? There is a human being in the highest place. Glory to God the Father. In Christ Jesus, humanity has been lifted high, and that is such good news if you're a human, which I think you are. It means that if you will walk the path of humility now, you too will be lifted up. If you haven't yet humbled yourself to call Jesus Savior and Lord, I would encourage you to do so today. We spend so much of our time trying to lift ourselves up. We want to build our egos. We fruitlessly try to grow our fragile self-esteem. Why not let God do the heavy lifting for us? If we humbly admit our sins before God and ask for forgiveness, he won't condemn us. He won't berate us. He will lift us up too, just like Jesus. And it's much better to bow willingly now than bow grudgingly later. And this is really good news for those of us that are already stumbling along the path of humility, trying to follow Jesus. It's hard and we fail so often. Sometimes we wonder whether it's worth it. But the difficult path gets easier when you know where it's leading. Keep following Christ. It's a humble path, but it leads to glory. Philippians 3, verses 20 and 21 say, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Keep walking that humble path. God honors that. He honored it in Christ, and he will honor it in us. Keep trusting in him. Let's pray. Almighty Father God, thank you for Christ Jesus, who descended from the highest of heights to the depths of disgrace for us. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross, which we will be remembering later in our service. Thank you that for all of us who trust in him, we have a home with you forever. Thank you that we can look forward to an eternity spent worshiping our Savior for his great humility. And Father, we pray for your Spirit's help to walk that path of humility ourselves. Please help us and give us that mindset which doesn't look to our own interests, but looks to the interest of others. Amen. We're going to